Good morning, everyone. It's good to see all the ones here and all the ones that are listening in. And I've been blessed so far by being here. Thank you, Steve, for those encouraging words on faith. Yeah, birds aren't worrying too much. They just are eating and building nests. And yeah, I've seen coming this morning here, it just brought back a lot of memories of coming to church. Hopefully we can do that soon. And meeting our friends, kind of, it's where we all get together on a Sunday morning to meet each other. I've seen also in the paper, in the Leader Statesman, it had, some of you know Gerald Hamlet. He's a Pentecostal preacher there in town. He had in the paper a picture there of him preaching, and the people would sit in their vehicles with their windows open, and it had in there that you can honk to say amen. So I guess the people would get honk in their vehicles when they said amen. But yeah, if you do that this morning, I probably won't hear you. The title this morning is Encouragement in the Last Days. You can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 in your Bibles. I've been thinking about this for a while, and it's the last few months especially. It's a lot of fear around. And I want to just open up with chapter 1 there in 2 Timothy, starting at verse 3 there. This is Paul speaking, and he's encouraging Timothy to be faithful. And I was blessed by some of those verses. Paul was in prison, and he was writing to Timothy here. And if you go to verse 7, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I had to think about that. So if God doesn't give us fear, who does? It's some of the thoughts that I've been thinking about. If God doesn't give us fear, then it's Satan. He's the one that brings us fear. But God gives us power, it says, to live above sin. God gives us love. He gives us a sound mind. And a sound mind there, I think, is wisdom. And he gives us wisdom to live in the last days. Let's remember that as we go throughout our lives. And then a few more. Go to chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace. That means trusting completely in Christ and his power, not trying to live the Christian life in our own strength. And then go to chapter 3 is where I want to stick mostly. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 and 2 reads like this. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy." I'll cease reading there. And back here in the Bible times, in Paul's days, he thought he was living in the last times. And couldn't we say that he was? He was in the last times, but it's because he didn't know the future. But we are still closer now than we were then, in the last times. The Bible says he will come as a twinkling of an eye. So now is the time that we need to prepare ourselves for eternity. Perilous times, difficult times, troublesome times, trying times, hard times. Wouldn't you say we're in those right now? Think about that, especially the last few weeks and months. People don't have jobs, and it's hard times for some. It says, "Men shall be lovers of their own selves." Think there, it's men will love to be selfish. They will love to be self-centered. And I want to just look at the next seven things in these verses. The first one is covetous and boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. I want to look at those seven things. And these things are happening in the last days that we're living. They were happening back when Paul was, and they're happening now today. And it's sometimes they get closer home to us than what we think, we as conservative Christian Mennonites. The word covetous, just give you a few dictionary terms. Want more, not satisfied with what we have. Couldn't we say that is really selfish? I think all of these words here stem back to selfishness. Boasters, boast in what we have, bragger. Pretend to have what he does not have. Well, isn't that selfish? The third one there, proud. The proud person feels he is better than others. Possessing a high or unreasonable conceit of one's own excellence. Isn't that selfish? The fourth one, blasphemers, cursing against God and man. Lots of cursing we hear these days. Why? Why do people curse? Well, isn't it a loss of respect for God and man? Well, isn't that selfish? A lot of these things come back to selfishness. The fifth one, disobedient to parents, rebelling against our parents, showing disrespect to our parents. Isn't that selfish? The sixth one, unthankful, not giving of thanks to God and man. People feel like the world owes them a good life. Isn't that selfish? We don't deserve anything. The seventh one there is unholy. You could say profane, indecent, seeks constant gratification of the flesh. Well, isn't that selfish? Now I would like to look at the same seven words, but I picked opposite words. Denying self. God wants us to deny self, not be selfish, but unselfish. God first. So opposite of covetous, I put, and there could be other words that might even fit better, but I picked contentment. Rest or quietness of the mind in the present condition. I thought that really fits with contentment for the days that we're living in. Rest or quietness of the mind in the present condition. Satisfaction, which holds the mind in peace, often implying a moderate degree of happiness. Are we content this morning? Opposite of boasters, I just picked peacemaker. One who makes peace. God wants us to be peacemakers. One who makes peace by reconciling parties that are in disagreement. It's one thing we can do in our last days when there's lots of disagreements and no peace. We can be peacemakers. The third one, opposite of proud, I have humble, lowliness. Are we humble servants of Jesus Christ this morning? Number four, blasphemers. Wasn't sure what was an opposite of a blasphemer, but I put reverent. Submissive and humble. Submissive and humble is reverent. Fifth one there, disobedient to parents. I put obedience to parents. Submissive to authority. That could be our earthly parents, or it could be our heavenly Father. Are we obedient to God's word this morning? The sixth one there, unthankful. Opposite of that would be thankful. Are we grateful this morning? Impressed with a sense of kindness received and ready to acknowledge it. Are we a grateful person? The seventh there is unholy. Opposite of that would be holy. Pure in heart. Free from sin and sinful affections. We serve a holy God this morning, and let's be holy people. What are you thankful for? I just want to elaborate just a little bit on the thankfulness. Living in the last days, we see a lot of unthankful people. I am thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I am employed. I am thankful for the clothes that fits a little snug because it means I have enough to eat. Here in America, it would probably be maybe because we overeat. I am thankful for the shadow that watches me work because it means I am in the sunshine. I am thankful for the lawn that needs mowing. I am thankful for the windows that need cleaned. I am thankful for the guttering that needs fixed because it means that I have a home. I am thankful for the spot I found at the far end of the parking lot because it means that I am capable of walking. I am thankful for the high heating bill because it means that I am warm. I am thankful for the person behind me that sings off key because it means I can hear. I am thankful for the alarm clock that goes off early in the morning hours because it means I am alive. Are we a thankful person this morning? Now, I want to just look at verse 2 there again. Let's not be selfish, just living for self. Let's help others. I know there's many that have been sewing masks for the community, nursing homes and hospitals, and I appreciate that very much. They're not being selfish. They're helping others. And the Bible speaks a lot about loving our neighbor. I could pick quite a few verses out that talk about that. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? I would like to write up on the board here, who is our neighbor? I'm going to put it in acrostic form, N-E-I-G-H-B-O-R. Who is my neighbor? The first one I just have is neighbor. They are not all actively involved in church, but we are supposed to love them. The next one is employees and employers. E is for employees and employers. Some of them might not be churchgoers, but we are supposed to love them. Who is our neighbor? I stands for interesting people. Who is my neighbor? Interesting people. Every day we meet interesting people, and we are supposed to love them. G stands for general contacts. General contacts. People at the bank, at the service station, at the grocery store. God says we're supposed to love them. The next one is H, and that is hobby friends. We're supposed to love them, hobby friends, people who share our interest in antiques, needle crafts, or stamp collections. We're supposed to love them. B, I have down babies. New babies are born daily, and we're supposed to love them. Who is my neighbor? O is occupational friends. Occupational friends. Those are our neighbors, people in the workplace who admire and respect us. We're supposed to love them. Last of all, the R is for relatives. Who is our neighbor? Our relatives. Children, our parents, brothers, sisters, and in-laws. And we, God says, we are supposed to love them. Pretty well, it means that we need to love each person that we meet. The Bible speaks a lot about loving our neighbors. That's one thing we can do in the last times that we live. Show love and help our neighbors. A few more verses I want to share yet in closing. Encouragement in the last day to keep on keeping on. Turn to Philippians 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We need God's strength in the last days that we live. And then go down to verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What a promise that is. We don't need to be fear. We don't need to be scared. Because God will supply our needs. What a wonderful promise that is. Now turn to the Old Testament, Job 10, verse 1. And we could spend a lot of time here in Job. He suffered a lot. Job 10, verse 1 reads like this. The first part says, my soul is weary of my life. Is your soul ever weary of your life? We all know what Job went through. He had boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Now, in Job, go to 42, verse 2. Job 42, close to the end of the chapter. Verse 2 says, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Through all this time, Job knew that God was still in control. He kept his focus on God. He knew that God could do everything. And then, another page, the end of Job's life, chapter 42, verse 12 and 13. I would like to read those verses. Chapter 42, 12 and 13. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. The end of Job's life. The Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. Why? Because he remained faithful. He didn't give up. And just the same way with us, if we remain faithful to the end, we will have a lot more in heaven than we'll have now. A lot of blessings we'll have in heaven when we're with Jesus. Now, another one in the Old Testament, Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah 8, verse 10, I want to read. Nehemiah 8:10. Nehemiah 8, verse 10 says this. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. I want the last part of this verse. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In the last days that we live, let's remember that. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you have any strength, it's from the Lord. Now, let's go to Isaiah yet. Isaiah 4. Some wonderful promises here in Isaiah. Isaiah 4, verse 28. Very familiar scripture. Isaiah 4 verse. There is nothing like Isaiah 4:20. Does someone know which one is it? Is your mount up with wings as eagles? Isaiah 40. Thank you. Yeah, I missed a zero. Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Strength for the weary. It's wonderful verses here. Even the strongest people get tired sometimes. God's power and strength never diminishes. God is never too tired to help us and listen to us. God's strength is our source of strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. As we touch other lives, we will either lift their hearts toward God or we will add to their load. Let's lift them towards God. I read this little story recently on the presence of God. Excuse me. The presence of God. The passengers on the train were uneasy as they sped through the dark, stormy night. The lightning was flashing, black clouds were rolling, and the train was traveling fast. The fear and the tension among the passengers was evident. One little fellow, however, sitting all by himself, seemed utterly unaware of the storm or the speed of the train. He was amusing himself with a few toys. One of the passengers spoke to him. "Sonny, I see you are alone on the train. Aren't you afraid to travel alone on such a stormy night?" The lad looked up with a smile and answered, "No, ma'am, I ain't afraid. My daddy is the engineer." I like that little story because we need to have that kind of faith as we live each day. Is God your engineer? Is God your pilot? 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's use our sound minds. Let's use wisdom that God has given us. Let's walk calmly. Let's do what we can to encourage our fellow travelers. Let's pray.